All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans, and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose.
All right, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. It's been a hell of a week. So we're going to turn down the tone and turn down the rhetoric and talk about something that brings us all together. Kiss, the most divisive rock band in Kiss in history.
True that.
In history.
Yeah, so obviously this is a nice place to escape, and I want to thank everyone who's joining us live. Ronnie, Todd, Austin, Max, AB. Who else we got? We got Paul Topliff as well at the top there, who was in earlier. So thank you very much for joining us live, joining us in the chat. We've got an assortment of topics today because there was no announcement this week. But before we get into all of that and our potpourri of various Kiss happenings, I've uploaded a few videos this week, been kind of busy. This morning, the third of the Eric Carr audition tape drum tracks went up, and that was And the Cradle Will Rock in June 1980, when he submitted his application to Kiss, including the four track sound application. Women and Children First was a very new album. It didn't only come out in March, and that was the first single, so it wasn't even part of Flasher's song list at the time. They did stuff like You Really Got Me, which was another one of the songs on the demo, and Beautiful Girls. What was the other one? I don't remember. It's in the description for In the Cradle Will Rock what the third one was. Oh, yeah, Running with the Devil. So those were Alan songs that Paul Caravella was performing with Flasher in the bars. I won't even say clubs. It was that low level. But those are pristine if you want to hear drum covers, and you get to hear some little elements that I hear stuff that I hear later in Kiss recording. So it's super fun for me. The other video that went live this week was Shouting It Loud at Clouds Part 2 for 2026. My thoughts of more potential products that could be done if there was the will or the market or the logistics or the legal, if everything came together. And the two that I picked for this conversation were a Cobo Hall box set. That's the 50th anniversary of the three-night stand at Cobo Hall. We have all the videos now. All the full videos, they look wonderful. They sound pretty good. But if those were professionally treated, released in audio and video formats, I would love that, along with the press conference. That's where they flew into Detroit, or to, I don't remember the name of the airport, but you can see it in Rock Scene and Cream magazines around the time. A very exciting time. That was when they really made it. And Larry Harris comes on stage, you know, to announce that they've sold 1 million copies. Yeah, if you recall from those videos. So that's one product. The other product that I mentioned in there is, of course, the 45th anniversary Elder Super Deluxe. I went into quite a bit of detail. A lot has been discovered since the Odyssey book. I'm going to continue diving into that. I'm working on the next chapter of the Audio Odyssey, which will be coming out. It continues to fascinate me, and that's just the stuff that I know about. And we don't know a lot about the Elder and what they may have in the vaults. But I would love for there to be a 45th anniversary remixed by Bob Elder and put back in its proper sequence with the interstitial spoken word stuff that was certainly recorded. So,
Julian, what do you think about that thing that was it Frankenstein? He did a take on the Elder thing where he put in a lot of effort to change it up and make it a double record.
I have not listened to it. My initial reaction to that was I don't like the idea of taking things so wildly out of context to create that. I do want to sit down and listen to it, though, when I can put that to the side and just take it as a piece of creative art. I will try and listen to it. Now, I did try and listen to the Kiss, the kids in Athens, Georgia, when they did their production of the album.
Oh, that, yes, yes.
And I never got through that either, so no disrespect meant to Ken. You know, thank goodness there are people out there being creative and doing things just like I do with the stuff that I do. So I will check it out at some point, but I've not been able to get over that hump yet of disassociating myself with reality, which I need to do to listen to it and to give it a fair listen. I don't want to give it an unfair listen. That'd be the biggest disservice I could do to his effort. All right, let's get back to reality. Some people were hoping for an announcement this week. It was, of course, the 50th anniversary this week of the release of Kiss Alive. Hopes and expectations built. They were reached a crescendo of angst in the Peanut Gallery of people going, Ken, you were let down. I mean, why were you let down? Do you not like the new team here?
Okay, well,
where do you start?
It's the 50th anniversary of, you know, Kiss's. Maybe, you know, I think it's even though it's not my favorite Kiss album, I understand it's the most important, I think, Kiss album out there. Yeah. Because, like last week I said, this saved the record company, saved Kiss.
I
said saved rock and roll, but, you know, hey, maybe I stretched it a little bit there. But they had a long time to plan. You know, plenty of time to plan for these things. And we have word out from, you know, Eddie Kramer, even Paul and Gene have mentioned this Alive box set. And you put out four t-shirts, just four t-shirts. This is even less than what they did for Dress to Kill. Dress to Kill had more stuff even. And that did not get its box set, which we heard rumors about it having a box set. So I don't know what's going on with either Pop House or Universal Music or both. It's probably both, I'm guessing, somehow or rather. Why can't they release this stuff on the anniversary? Yeah. They used to do that. They actually did pretty good. They've been pretty good in the past, but the last couple albums, what's funny is Asylum was early on this stuff. Which is doesn't make any sense either. So it's kind of like all over the place. They don't even give you snippets of what's to come.
Because there was nothing coming.
It's coming. But the thing is, they don't want, it's like a big secret. Hmm. That's not a secret.
Big secret.
And they don't want you to, you know, say, oh, you know, show it, play a sample. 30 second sample of something that has not been released. You know, create some excitement for this thing. We know it's going to come out. I know it's coming.
I played you 4 minutes last week.
I know, but why? That's you. Mm-hmm. You're not Pop House or Universal.
You should be.
Oh shit.
It's supposed to come out this early December. I think December 7th, the day that will live in infamy. but I just don't. They're not creating any excitement for it. Sure, no. they had their little live the story, the article, the two-part article, which I enjoyed. They need to do more of that kind of stuff.
Can I just jump in for a second?
Yeah.
Look, the thing is, and Max said it in the comments section. Kiss has a long history of disappointment, disappointing, being behind on things. This at this point should be no surprise to anybody. Now to say that is there going to be an Alive box that coming? Probably, because since they said that it is actually done and that it's an actual completed project, and it's just a matter of getting it out now. Why they didn't do it on the anniversary is going to be the $1 million question that needs to be answered at some point in time. but this is absolutely stunning. Well, it's stunning to people. To me, I don't think so, because I've always said too that these people are it's a boat with no steering wheel now. It's just a boat that's just free floating on water and just going wherever the hell it thinks it's going to go by itself. There's nobody steering the ship now, it seems like. And if they are, then they're doing a really horrendous job of it, because while I love T-shirts, and you know, I even have a, you know, segment where I talk about washing T-shirts, as Daniel loves that segment of the show where I talk about it. So I'm going to buy a shirt for sure. And I mean,
which
buy
one?
The Gene one? No, I want to buy I like the Paul one. So I'm going to get that one. But, the thing is that they could have easily put more. I mean, you know, Ken made a good point. There was more stuff available for Dress to Kill. And even Asylum, an album that I love very, very much, there was much more hype before they released that colored vinyl thing that came out. Remember, they had those little images of the neon colors and all this stuff. And, it, you know, almost like a It's Coming, you know, and you kind of like, oh, I know what that's from. So there was a bit of a build up to it. It was nothing for this. And I don't understand why. I mean, there's so much stuff, you know, going on around that they could have did around this. I mean, even in Cadillac, Michigan, they could have did all kinds of things to kind of hype it and get people be excited about it. But nothing happened. Why? I mean, we had, you know, there's so many people now that are supposedly involved with this now. We have a separate committee of influencers, and we have all these other people coming in there. And yet all we get in the end is 4 T-shirts. I mean, I'm very shocked at that end of it. I mean, if there was that much...
What is the job of an influencer, technically, Mark? What role in the greater world of everything do influencers...
Well, they're supposed to sort of, in my opinion, the influencers are kind of almost like hype men in a sense. I kind of look at them as people that kind of, you know, get the people excited about something, you know, like they go on their shows and they talk about, you know, there's an album coming out and they really get behind it and they give their extra gusto behind it to make people on their show to get really excited about it. And get behind us for when it comes out. That's how I kind of look at it. Like these people.
Yeah, an influencer is they're essentially a shill.
Yeah.
They have benefits for having inside knowledge, but they also have a role to fulfill. So the influencers have nothing to do with the reality of creating or bringing into reality any product. And it's important to separate them from the conversation about expectations, about what is. I think it's people got themselves into a bit of a loop over dates, that this is a massive album, that it was definitely going to be announced on the 10th or the 11th, whichever. And that, I don't think, helps anything. One thing I do know is nothing whatsoever about anything that's anything when it comes to anything that might eventuate. But I do know that business happens. I do know that things unexpectedly occur in the background that sometimes lead to things not going as originally intended or perhaps hoped for. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's something greater going on. Whether it surrounds what's happened this year, the big news of the year is the Kennedy Center honoring the 4 original members. That'd I think cool. that potentially, and again, I have no insider knowledge into that, that changes the calculus in many different ways, because that is going to give an opportunity to bring so much focus on the group. Post-announcement with actually happening and being on TV and the 24-hour news cycle clutching onto that in December, I could see that potentially changing a whole lot of things that maybe were planned for later this year. But again, I don't know. Daniel, let's go to you before we go back around on this whole kind of fiasco. What are your thoughts?
I need a drink first.
Oh God, me too.
Vodka.
This is such a clusterfuck. It boggles the mind. I'm starting to think there are legal problems with this thing. I'm starting to think that Pop House, Universal, Gene and Paul aren't on the same page, and they're struggling to get things out because they can't come to the same conclusion. They want different things. The problem is, if everybody wants the cake and eat it too, you know, I would have hoped that Papas owned everything so they can just release. But I think there has to be some problems in this process, because how the hell can you, you know, strike out once again? It's so easy. I mean, just put, there has to be some legal things going on here, because you could just use Andrew Skimberi, who was on the show last week, and the guys in the Council of the Elders, so to speak, the guys who was, you know, invited to, was it Las Vegas, and they talked about how to go about with the KISS stuff. You know, there were guys from Europe like Nico and the leader. Was,
yeah. A lot of great guys were invited there.
A lot of great guys.
Who I trust wholeheartedly.
We all do. So there's a lot of great ideas. There's a lot of skilled people. But at the end, we end up so disappointed because they drop the ball once again. And I can't believe that they do it once again. I'm shocked, because you have, yeah, but Mark, they have, there's a lot of talented guys that could do this the right way. But I think that it's something, that it has to be something with some sort of legal stuff. They don't have, you know, the rights to something that's what's stopping this from coming up, because it should be a no-brainer. I mean, just release, you know, it on the date of the... Yeah,
I think that you could be onto something. I don't know. I'm just saying that you're. I don't know anything as well.
I'm just guessing.
If anybody, I know probably the least about all this stuff. But the thing is, I think that you might be onto something, because Pop House only got like Sonic Boom and everything after that. So obviously, Alive is not part of that package. That's all Universal Music owned stuff. So maybe you're right. Maybe those two guys are kind of butting heads on what they want to do. Who knows? I mean, I don't know, but that's an obvious possibility, right?
They have to work together, Mark. It's, sorry, can I get to you 1 second? But just to explain, the Casablanca contract under which Alive was recorded is owned by Universal Music. So they do have to work with the rights holders, which are now Pop House, theoretically. Again, I don't know what Pop House purchased exactly. We know the trademarks were purchased, because the trademark transfers have gone through on the USPTO. So we know certain things. What else have they bought? Again, we don't know. Did they buy Gene's image rights, Paul's image rights? It wouldn't look so from the avatars. It looked like Neanderthals. So, again, it's not entirely clear, and it's not my business to know what Pop House bought. But they definitely have to work with Universal, and vice versa. If Universal wants to do something, then they now have to get approval from the ownership. And that is my understanding. At least I could be incorrect. The three sides can correct any of that if it's misinformation. Sorry, Ken. Back to you.
No, the other thing is, like what you said, Julian, and it crossed my mind, was about the Kennedy Center, where it was said that KISS is making a special announcement like the day or the day before the actual Kennedy Center honors, around that day, or maybe the same day, maybe the day before, something like that. So what's that special announcement? So maybe they decided... Like, you know what? It's going to get worldwide, or at least nationwide press. Why not announce the KISS Alive box set on that date? That's the only other thing I could think of, because you're going to get a lot of then maybe hits, and you put it out there. It's all out, ready to go. Order it, you know. Even people that are not real KISS fans or casual KISS fans will maybe buy it. That's the only other thing, besides the fact that Pop House, you know, is it Pop House delaying it? Is it Universal delaying it? Or like the other thing where you said there, maybe there's more, maybe they have to take something out of the package or add something to the package. Maybe they found, you know, I'm hoping they add a Blu-ray. I know they're probably going to do an Atmos, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. For this, but maybe a video concert for the first time in a box set for KISS. Put that in there as on the same Blu-ray or whatever, or another Blu-ray. That would be beautiful if they could do something like that. even though some of it's out there, and for unreleased stuff that they have probably in their vaults that we, you know, haven't seen, or it's better quality than what we've seen. So yeah. I'm John hoping Lennon, for something like that.
John Lennon's Power to the People box. Yes. There were unboxings this week for that product that came with on one DVD, I believe it was, a DVD? Hybrid concert from the two nights. It may have been a Blu-ray, Daniel. I don't pay attention. A video. The other one was the Untouched nights, and then additional. So they are still putting video in boxes. If they're putting them in boxes for John Lennon, then that's part of Kiss's kind of chronology back then as well. So it is still valid, apart from the legal and rights issues that surround all of that crap, unfortunately.
But this is the thing. You know what the problem is? And I'll say this. Unfortunately, we can't do nothing about this. You guys must have watched Sopranos before that show. And they said something very similar about this that I think pins the tail on the donkey with this, that they were once talking about the leadership of the mafia gang, like the family. And they said they were talking about having three people at the top, like, you know, ruling it. You know what I mean? Like ruling the thing. And the one guy jumps in and goes, No. We need a fucking supreme ruler at the top of the ladder. We don't want the Dave Clark Five here running it. We just need one. And that's the problem here. Because now they have to go to this guy. If they didn't do that and just had one guy that has overall say over it, then we had none of this mess. They can just do whatever the hell they wanted, whenever they wanted, because there's only one guy that has to take care of it. But of course, we can't do any. There's no hope of that now. So.
Yeah, there are benefits to a benevolent dictator in any arrangement until that benevolence doesn't match with.
Well, this isn't helping.
What you want?
This isn't helping. No,
it's not helping. It's a mess. But let's get back into, you know, to the merch that was announced. These are the T-shirts. You have Ace. You have Gene. You have Paul.
Yeah.
And then you have a tiny little Peter behind an oversized drum kit. Perspective is horrendous. That is terrible. They should have enlarged him.
It's a midget.
Like they. Once again, Peter gets the short end of the sticks.
The drumstick. I mean,
think of what they did with Alive 4, the Millennium concert cover. That should have been the real Alive 4. They made him bigger. Yeah, he did look right there, but crazy. At least they tried. But then again, maybe they're not allowed to make changes to things that they have rights for. So, again, I'm not spending $45 on any of these T-shirts. Mark, you said you were going to get one. Which one?
I want the Paul one.
Let's see. That's a pretty bad. I mean, Jonathan, I don't think he's around this week in Destroyer Tribute. He does a great one of those poses. Ken, do you like any of these? You going to buy the Gene one? Come on.
You should.
Ken.
I do like the Gene one.
It's a great T-shirt.
I do like the Gene one.
$45 worth plus $18 shipping?
No, I don't like the price. I'm hoping that they have, Black Friday. They have that coming up. So maybe Black Friday they'll have a sale, and I'll buy it then if it's still available. Supposedly it's limited, so maybe they'll be gone. But what if it's gone? It's gone.
You know what? The colors look good. I do like that. The palette that's been used for these is actually very appealing. It's got that. We showed some of the photos, and I'll be showing the Kiss Alive feature again in a moment. But that kind of blue, it's almost a cobalt-y. It's weird. I love these colors.
I kind of like the logo as well. It's almost like the Kiss FAQ logo. You know, going back to the basics, simple white and black. So they're copying us,
copying me, copying them.
Mother truckers.
I haven't had very many original thoughts. Let's put it that way. Let's go to the Kiss Alive feature. I think obviously Ken's a very close friend. I think he did a fantastic job putting together. There are lots of new quotes in there for people to enjoy. We'll show this again, The Making of Alive. Without it becoming book length and for it being a feature, I think this is a really fun thing. If you've not read it, do go and give it a chance, because, again, there is new stuff. I think Gene's quotes in this. There's one of the recording trucks.
Yes.
Again, Electric Lady was brought out to record Kobo. And that's the one I wanted to pause. Let's see if I can shut up for a minute and let you guys talk. What do you think about it? Why find this photo?
I think it's very cool. Yeah, that they did this at least. I know they did the thing for Dress to Kill, which was good too. This is even, I think, a little bit better in my opinion. I like the additional information we haven't heard about before, some things, tidbits from the band members and other people. I think this is something that they need to do more of around either promoting this album and other Kiss releases and anniversaries. They need to do more stuff like this.
Yeah, they have this guy. Sorry, they have this guy listed as unknown or friend. I think that's Mark Parenteau, or Parent. I can never say his name. Boston DJ. Sorry, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Oh
no, and then, I'm just saying that I think Ken Sharp, he's surely, you know, pulling his weight. These articles are fantastic, and they are coming out, you know, almost once a month. You had that one on Bernt Monson as well, you know, the Swedish. He's been on the show a few times.
For Unmasked.
I don't know what it was about.
A
was
Swedish
it the European
fans
tour
through, through Europe in 1980.
Yeah.
So
these articles are excellent and very well written, and you know, great photos and stuff like that. But it's about the only thing happening on that, you know, Kiss Online site. These are great. What are all the other guys doing? Ken Sharp is doing a lot of good stuff. If they had like five people doing this kind of stuff, the site would explode, you know. These are great, but it's the only thing that's happening on that site other than, you know, new merchandise, or should I say new T-shirts, because that's about it.
Yeah, I work for free. Mark?
I think Ken Sharp does a fantastic job. I mean, I love the stuff that he writes. You know, Nothing to Lose, that book, is another fine read that I enjoy looking at and going through all the time as well. And, you know, so his contributions, I have no issues with at all. I mean, I think it's great. And I didn't get a chance to read that fully yet, but of course it's piqued my interest immediately when it says the recording, because you know me and the whole kind of recording end of stuff. I'll be on that, like, you know, no problem. So I am looking forward to it. And see, but that's the thing. That's the way you get people excited. People like me who love that kind of stuff. When you see that, they're immediately like, oh, okay, I'm getting in there and let's check it out. So.
You should get Andrew Scambatti doing some video stuff. You know, he would put out great stuff every month. Throw in a bone, you know.
But it takes a bit longer than a month to do it. It's a long process.
Not for Andrew. Andrew would sit, you know, 24 hours if he would be able to put up something on Kiss
Online.
He
does have a day job, though, I'm pretty sure. So.
Well, I'm sure he would put up loads
of
stuff.
Yeah, but then you get into rights issues as well around. Yeah. I mean, I would love to do demo stories. I've been revamping those for years, and I'm still doing them on this side. I'd love to contribute. But it has to, again, there are rights issues around using that commercially on a commercial website. You know, I don't do any advertising revenue on there, so I can get a copyright ding and they take the publishing and all that. That's great. That's how it should be. That's right and proper. And I don't get in trouble for doing it that way. Yeah. That's why we're very careful about the music video that we use on the show. But if it was to be done on Kiss Online, then it does get into a more commercial basis. It gets into the basis where everything has to be approved. And Gene and Paul still have some tacit or active role in approving things. So is anything Julian Gill contributes going to make it through the blender of approvals, or is it going to get redlined from the get-go? Ken Sharp's a different matter. I mean, he's worked with the band very closely for many years, has not made the sorts of horrible mistakes that I've made in my adventures, and is trusted and respected. So that's great. But in order... all of this is Thoroughway as well, Mark. It would be great to have more, but it's out now and it's going to be cut and pasted to death. And all those photos have already been cut and pasted into the Facebook sharing. So all it's doing is giving stuff away in some sense. And Kiss is a commercial entity. So I love it.
But this leads to a big question. You know, should we stop expecting so much from the official Kiss releases and focus on the bootleggers? Because there is where you have the real talent, the real heart.
Have you heard some of those bootlegs? They sound like a fucking cement grinder, some of the
audio. What I'm trying to say is that guys that are not hired by KISS, they are the guys who sits on the talent at this point of time. You know, a guy like Andrew Scambatti, he can, you know, make a whole lot of great videos that won't be seen on KISS. Sure, there might be issues when it comes to rights and stuff, but who cares if you're a KISS fan? You just want to watch it. So is this a breaking point where we understand that KISS can't produce anything officially, but the bootleggers, yeah, but not too much, it seems.
Yeah, but they are produced. Let's be fair.
No, okay.
The walking tour of New York City for the Dress to Kill Coroner, which was narrated by Russell, was fantastic. That really exceeded my expectations of what I thought we were going to get when I heard about that coming down the pipeline. These the burnt KISS fan through Sweden experience. It was concise. It wasn't bloated and unfocused. Again, like a lot of my stuff has a lot of extraneous fat, so it was trimmed straight down. This is very trimmed and very positive. So I think it's let's not be unfair and say that they're not doing things that the bootleggers or unofficial people like me are doing, or Andrew, or Ken Frankenstein, or Necro. You know, we're doing stuff, but they have a different set of rules. Are our expectations just unrealistic that nothing that is ever done is enough?
But what I'm trying to say, Julian, is that there are rules and regulations that make the official products, you know, lesser than the unofficial products at this point in time. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, but you got to be careful too. Like someone like Andrew, if they do it, and if they do something that really catches KISS's attention, you know, he doesn't want to get taken to court and, you know, be ruined financially, right? I mean, and that's always a possibility when you remember that guy who put that book out, you know, who got that cease and desist and was like completely crippled financially for years after that, you know?
That wasn't
gotta
me,
be careful. No,
yeah,
Julian.
But these days you can be anonymous and putting on stuff. You don't need to put it if you don't want. I mean, a guy like Andrew, I guess he wants to get a bit of credit.
But of course, there are guys, wants to get credit.
But there are guys that don't care about that. They want the fans to see what's out there, and that's the kind of stuff that will explode if KISS doesn't step up. You know.
Yeah, most of us have egos and want to be recognized.
Yeah, everybody wants to be recognized.
Not everyone, I think.
Whether we did whether we admit it or not, a little bit of stroking, on the inner thigh
don't
is
start
very
with
nice
the stroking
reward.
Oh no!
But Todd made a very good point. Yeah, Ken's feature was fantastic, but there was no payoff. Ideally, the feature should make you excited and there should be a product for you to purchase. Yeah, it should be a driver. Yeah, it does seem a bit of a throwaway, which goes back to what I said earlier. Did business interfere? Did something unexpected interfere with plans? Because it seemed that they had things lined up. They had a great feature. Again, a ton of positivity. None of that old line of shit that triggers me when Gene and Paul start criticizing Ace and Peter, you know, that drives me nuts. This was all great. Gene talking about four-wheel drive, gymnasiums, all that. Ken?
You know, I think they're just throwing, you know, they changed something. Something must have changed. I can't believe they weren't going to release it this week. Something must have changed. And so what they did is like, okay, well, we got to throw the fans some kind of bone or whatever. So they put out just the four T-shirts and and this article out there, by Ken Sharp. So it's got to be something like that, because I can't believe they were going to just like announce it in December or something initially. It seems like it's just a waste. Even if they have it ready, they could announce it. Again, they got to create more, if it's hype or little tidbits, kind of little things out there to like start getting you build a excitement, you know, for when it's going to be coming. You know, like you know how KISS used to do it back in the day in the magazines? Yeah. They even like have like even the solo albums, right? You had the four blank, pictures with an advertisement, you know, I forget what the words were, but they would always do something where like something's coming. It's like, oh, they're showing us something. It's like, ooh, you know, like, build an excitement. There's no real build. You know, this is a big
but
album.
But the problem, Ken, is that this is not some new concept. This is something that's been done for years and years.
I know, that's the problem.
They're well aware of it, but there's something that's preventing them from doing it.
They're lousy marketers right now. Whoever's in charge of marketing sucks and ought to be fired.
I have to get back to that. I think there are legal problems, you know, making things hard for KISS to present. There has to be legal problems, otherwise they're like brain dead, the people in charge.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, there has to be a rational explanation, but then again, this is KISS, and KISS has kind of never missed an opportunity.
But is it KISS? Is it still KISS, dude?
Well, again, just saying broadly KISS is, yeah. I'm not going to point fingers at the Swedes. No. I'm not going to point fingers at Universal. I'm not going to point fingers at Paul and Gene. I'm not going to blame the fans.
It's a mess.
Again, we don't know squat when it comes to it. All right, let's... do you think we should move on a little bit? Because
yeah,
all right. Now, seriously, it's not all doom and gloom.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
There's a new Naked Gun movie. Go out to cinemas and watch it right now.
Yeah, and Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson seem to have gotten something hit it off. Out of that, which is very nice for both of those people.
Chemistry. Oh yeah.
Lynn Christopher, a reissue of her debut. And I think it's her only album because she did a single on Granite in 1975, but that was it for albums. Was reissued recently on colored vinyl and CD. And of course, that provided Gene and Paul with their first professional credit using their pseudonyms. Mm-hmm. I believe Peter Chris and his brother may also be on there clapping. So, and any interest in that?
Was Peter's brother the one who threw up on?
I think that may well have been Joey.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know about his brother. He threw up on someone during, you know, when they were going to see KISS and thinking about giving them a contract. Peter's brother threw up on one of the guys. Well,
he was an early roadie. He did help. He did help out, I believe. I've never really gotten clarity on that.
Nope.
To me, it's the Lynn Christopher thing is really just for the completist KISS fan that has to have everything that Gene and Paul or any KISS member has appeared on. For me. No, I'm not gonna get. I never had that Lynn Christopher. I remember it crossed my mind, like, oh, yeah, you know, when I was buying a bunch of vinyl, you know, kind of trying to get all different versions of things, and I thought, oh, you know, I might try to get that. And then it's like the price is like, are you kidding me? People are paying, you know, all this money for this old album with just an appearance. I think it's cool. I know we can hear it out there. It's out there available to hear. So that's enough for me. I'm not that much of a completist as I have to have that. So I'm sure there's going to be people that buy it, that it'll sell for those particular KISS fans. But I don't see the need, at least for me.
Yeah, nor I. I had a Canadian copy of the original vinyl years ago and got rid of it. Daniel, you don't really collect as much of that sort of stuff, do you?
Hell no. I don't want anything with that brother of Pierce that threw up on the people that wanted to hide.
That was recorded.
He's like an enemy of the state. He's like an enemy of KISS fans. You know, he almost ruined it there. No, not for me. But I have to tip my hat to the guys in the comment sections. Loads of great comments today, I have to say. And the thing about the Naked Gun movie is really hilarious. And very Todd, this guy Todd, he has a lot of great comments. I haven't seen him, noticed him before, but keep
He's
it up
been here
Todd.
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And frankly, my opinion is I'm not going to buy it. Not interested in the slightest.
Okay. All right. So there was some other new music that came out recently. Black and Blue put out two songs that Tommy had written in the 80s, and they recorded them recently. They're actually, if you like mid 80s rock, they're actually very good. They're creditable. They're, you find Black and Blue on Bandcamp. Tommy doesn't play on them, but for any, I looked through my record stack, and I do actually own every Black and Blue album plus duplication cassettes used for the, I think it's the debut. Maybe this, I just happen to have all that stuff. I won't call myself a fan. They didn't pass my radar whatsoever in the 1980s. But if you like living in the past and listening to new old music, go over to Bandcamp and do support them, because again, anyone who puts out music on Bandcamp deserves a little bit of support if you're so inclined. Again, good stuff that's coming. Peter's album is still expected this year. So
yeah.
Eric Carr, new releases, the documentary, which has been a work in progress for quite a long time. But again, when you don't have the backing of a big studio and a large creative team, things do seem to take longer than they should. But it's been making progress. I've seen bits and pieces. It's creditable. And I'm sure when it's completed, it will be done. I have no idea about the audio release that's been mentioned, but more audio does continue to be discovered. There were, you know, 5 bonus tracks on the reissue of Rockology. There were, I think, 5. I provided those for Unfinished Business. So there is new stuff coming out, even if it's not new to you. Any interest for Eric Carr?
Yeah, I think it's just interesting that there is a documentary decades after his death. I mean, how many replacement drummers in big bands get documentaries with Eddie Trunk and you know, the elite of the rock and roll radio guys making an effort to create a documentary? So it really speaks to the way Eric was. You know, he made people feel. He went out there, he talked to the fans. Everyone seemed to like him because he was so you know, down to earth. So I think it's incredible that there's a documentary about the replacement drummer in Kiss decades after his death.
If you think about it, Cozy Powell, they had a documentary about him, and he was a replacement drummer for lots of bands, right? So
yeah, but there aren't a lot of, you know.
No, of course not. I know what you're saying, that there's not many of that, right? I mean, the Eric Carr stuff, I like some of his songs, but I've still yet to buy a proper record of his, not because I'm not interested, I just haven't gotten around to it. There's just so many other things as well that I'm interested in beside Kiss, obviously, too, right? So, but I am very interested in the Peter Criss record. I mean, that's one thing that I'll be very honest, that I have been very curious to hear what a proper rock record that he would do would sound like. I mean, we didn't really have that for a long, long time, right? So hopefully with the people that were involved with it, you know, we all know it's going to sound good. Julian's had a quick peek at it, and I trust his judgment as well. So I'm looking very forward to hearing that record for sure.
You know, people are asking for us to discuss one of the Peter Criss albums, and they often mention the Out of Control album. I think that would be a great episode, Julian.
Yeah, it would be. You know, I would love to do a refocused styled episode on Out of Control. It is, of course, Marcello, thank you, the 45th anniversary of the release of Peter's first. It was the first post-Kiss solo album for many of the members. So, yeah, I love that album. I adore that album. I have so many very happy memories that are wrapped up around
that. We need to do that.
I've told the stories of Singapore and finally finding those so many times.
We need
times.
To do that episode, Julian.
Got my Singapore cassette of it over there as well. So, yeah, I would love to. So if you guys are game,
hell yeah,
we can certainly do that. Because, again, there's remixes and stuff around it as well. Ken?
Yeah, I was going to say, regarding the documentary, I'm looking forward to that Eric Carr documentary. Hopefully it's good. I'm sure it probably will be. I'm sure they've been working on it for quite a while, I think, from what I understand, at least. And then, yeah, Peter Criss. Yeah, we've been waiting for this rock album that he announced many years ago that he started working on. And so looking forward to that. Yeah, when I met Peter Chris, that's at that LA convention. When I heard about his rock album that he was working on. It's like, oh, that's cool. we're still waiting for it, but it's finally going to, I guess, make it out this year. As for I saw that thing about the documentary, the Kiss documentary, 50th anniversary documentary, or the End of the Road Tour documentary, whatever it is. I know Doc McGee, who, you know, you can't believe everything he says, but he was thinking that it would come out late this year or sometime early next year. I'll believe it when I see it at this point. I also believe it when I see Alive or just the Killbox set. So at this point, you don't know what the hell's going on anymore.
Good things come to those who wait.
Yeah, never forget Doc the politician. Yeah. He talks out of both sides of his mouth and hedges his bets because he knows shit can change as well, you know, equally. So he can never be frank about stuff that may change because that'll just lead to rage. And he always has an agenda because he, as a manager, has a role and a function. So, you know,
surely
gotta be fair to him.
Surely he can't be frank anyway.
Nope. I don't have a clip for that. What else is potentially coming? I don't know if you saw on Facebook, Vinnie Vincent dropped a sound sample to a song that we've heard sound samples of before. Heavy metal poontang. I mean, he thinks he's Ted Nugent meets Probot coming soon. I've heard the demo's been out there for ages. The sound sample he shared is it's so over the top. It's like the original Invasion album now with so many different layers. And Robert Fleischman has said that Vinny doesn't even have the money to release an album. So thoughts on Vinny.
What's the deal with that then? I mean, didn't they maybe I misread this, but wasn't there some rumor that he was going to be starting some pre-order for this record?
There was a completed record at one point, they said, even.
No, but they're saying that he was actually going to start asking to take orders for this stuff. But I mean, how can he be doing
Don't buy it. Don't
no,
buy
I would
it.
Never. I never
Along with the box set. Yet.
But I'm saying that why would he, you know, if he doesn't have any money for it, how can he? I don't know. This guy makes no sense, man.
No.
You know, Vinny is complex. Vinny, I think, has a lot of great ideas and great intentions, but then the darker side of Vinny comes out and takes control of the wheel and drives it into the verge. Wow. Yep. Yeah,
he can't be in control like of his.
He's
music
not a businessman.
Because he keeps going over and over. I think he criticized he can't.
If
get
he would
it right.
just release Guitarmageddon as it was in 1991, I would be so happy to hear a crystal clear copy of that. I really got off on Rocks on Fire, Invincible. It really was outstanding for my taste. But
I'm just saying, can't he generate some funds by releasing his two Vinnie Vincent albums, repressing them, right?
He probably doesn't own them.
They haven't been repressed. If he doesn't own them, if he sold that away, that was...
Ken, he didn't sell them off. He never had them to begin with. When you sign a record contract, you don't own that. That's the record label owning that. The only way you'll ever get that back is, A, you have enough cash in your own bank account to buy it outright from them, which I guarantee you he doesn't have. Or if it's just something that they're just so disinterested in that they just give it back to them. They revert the rights back to them. And no record company does that unless they're like, really not
Well, they're
interested.
Not... Whoever owns it doesn't see any money value in it, so why don't they just give it back?
You know, they may have already gone in a dumpster. I mean, look at Universal, how it treated some of its assets. You know, they weren't always in Iron Mountain, or maybe some were, and others were stacked in bundles along with gasoline, petrol, and other flammables.
I think Gene has the nail on the head already back in 1992 in that video that Kiss released called... what was it? A Kiss Extreme close-up. Uh-huh. As Vinny's handed the keys to the kingdom, he hangs himself or whatever he said. He shoots himself in the head. So right. That's the problem with Vinny. He can't, you know, just as he sees the opportunity, he messes it up. So yeah. That's the problem. Yeah. It always has been a problem.
So we're not too far off Kiss in Las Vegas, or as mm-hmm. I like to call it now, Kiss Cruise 55 LV.
55?
LV, Roman numerals.
Okay.
All this hype for Kennedy Center, it hasn't really shifted. I think 40 tickets have sold of the remain. There were 800 and something remaining. There's currently, I think, 770 or something like that. But it's not a tremendous amount of sales that have been generated from any of the hype surrounding the Kennedy Center honors. There's been very little hype or buzz generated. As I think Daniel, I can't remember which one of you was saying, that it seems that there isn't any buzz done to promote things anymore. There seem, even, you know, adding guests like Eddie Kramer and Bob Ezrin to the event and finalizing some of the band and schedule lineups doesn't seem to have created any buzz, any excitement, any angst amongst those of us who weren't going, oh, shucks, maybe I need to rethink it. There doesn't seem to be anything that's really an electric cattle prod on the Kiss Army.
I think a big problem is...
I've given up.
I think a big problem is which channel are they using to promote the stuff? You know, you have Kiss Online. You have the Kiss YouTube channel. Nothing happens. If I would be in charge of the Kiss Cruise on land, I would at least, if I get Eddie Kramer, I would do an interview, 2 minutes, where he can talk a little bit. I would get an interview with Tommy Thayer. What is he going to do with the blue? What's the name of this band? Black and Blue.
Black and Blue. Yeah,
Black and Blue. And all the other guys, just quick snippets and put them out on the YouTube channel and on Kiss Online. But then once again, is there a problem between Pop House, who obviously own the Kiss Online thing, and the YouTube channel and all the rest of the stuff? It's so easy. Just put out stuff every month, every week, small snippets.
Yes, Daniel.
To make people. Yeah.
But the problem is Gene didn't help. I mean, I'm not sure if this is old comments from long ago or if this is more recent, but there was that thing
couple months
on
ago.
The 4 day stuff where he was saying, he goes, well, this is not even going to be a real Kiss show. It's right. Not going to be us playing. It's just going to be us talking about things, and it's just going to be, you know, some people go, hey, I might even bring my solo band up and play a little bit and jam. Mm-hmm. Like, are people going to be excited about that? I mean, I don't think that's what people wanted to go and see.
Very low energy and lackadaisical attitude towards the whole thing, and people spending a whole lot of coin to come to Las Vegas. It is a massive expense. You know, as Max pointed out in the comments, it's very expensive, especially for those fans who are traveling internationally. And don't forget to scrub your social media before arriving. Again, it's a very complex thing to put these events together, but it doesn't seem to have been coordinated in any way. We get a couple thousand listens and views on a weekly basis. Three Sides gets a few thousand. Podcast Rock City, I'm sure, it gets plenty. Shout It Out Loudcast gets plenty. I haven't looked at anyone else's numbers, so I don't know. But again, that's a lot of ears. Now, some of it's going to be an echo chamber, because I know when I go over onto the podcast Rock City live stream Sunday evenings that I see a lot of the same names who join us on a weekly basis. And thank you all for your dedication and returning week in and week out to support our podcast. You know, so yeah, there's going to be crossover. Why are they not throwing bones out to these podcasts? Some of these podcasts actually have the council. I'm not going to call them influencers, because I've just denigrated what influencers do earlier on in the episode. But the Council of the Elders, who have their podcast, you know, why aren't they throwing bones out to them to show a 5 second, a 10 second clip of Gene saying something exclusively to that audience? Throw a video out. They send me a 5 second clip to play of Paul Stanley saying, "Hey guys, come to Kiss Army Las Vegas." Blah blah. Whatever. I'll play the damn thing. I serve the Kiss Army.
Yeah,
not serve my own. This is all about Kiss. This is all because of Kiss. Why aren't they even making an absolutely minimal effort going to where the audience actually is? Or are they completely satisfied with how things look? That they're getting away with minimal effort, and that's good enough. That's you know, like I've done with my projects, I aim for break even and any more is nice.
Well, I mean, that's a good point, Julian, because I mean, when you look at it from their perspective, like Gene and Paul's, I mean, they're comfortable now. They have nice homes and their kids are grown up and they don't have to, you know, they look like they're comfortable in their retirement lives right now. So do they want to, you know, put that extra effort in and, you know, put, you know, really give it that extra drive that they would have did maybe 20 years ago? Who knows? I mean, I don't know that for certain, but if you're in retirement mode, they could be very much enjoying retirement mode. Who knows?
You know, they would have sold out when they originally announced it. They would have sold out no problem if they could have gotten these four guys all together to appear. They don't have to play together. They don't have to play together, but
I love Ken.
If, you could have gotten those guys there, Ace and Peter, Ken, with the Gene and Paul, man, that would have been, you know, I would have jumped on that.
I think your cap's on too tight. Do you want to adjust it?
It is, but I guess, you know, we can only dream.
all there is hope, and rebellions are built on hope. Daniel, your thoughts on all that?
Well, the thing is, my mind boggles when it comes to how KISS is, you know, how they run KISS these days. You need to have the right people in charge, people with knowledge, people with a drive, people that give a damn, and then it would be all right. There's so many opportunities, but they seem to strike out every time. I mean, if I was in charge of a pop house, I would sure as hell get, you know, in contact with the podcasts and, you know, some of the leaders of the podcast and, you know, get them involved, because they are doing a lot of stuff, a lot of shit for free that's pretty great. You know, when I'm interested in the band these days, I go to podcasts because that's the premier, the premier thing to go to. That's the best thing where you can get your news. Back in the day, you had to, you know, scroll through the magazines and try to find stuff. You didn't find anything. These days, it's, you know, like heaven. You like KISS? Well, there's five great podcasts every week that you can go and watch. KISS seems to be totally, you know, in the dark when it comes to this. Use the people. They will be happy to be used. You don't have to pay them a dime. They want to contribute and make KISS great again. So,
but you know, but Daniel, make it great again. But you know, Daniel, I think though that I still think though that there's an element of this retirement, isn't there? Because I mean, look at recently they had that video. They had that video with Paul and his son doing a "Wouldn't You Like to Know Me" on acoustic guitar bit there together. He just looks like he's just enjoying the chilling out life now. I mean, he's gonna be one of the first ones to tell you, I did 40 years, 50 years on stage. I gave my body to this music. I gave my this and that. So, you know, he's probably, do you think, like I said, does he really want to put that much effort into it now in his late 70s or early 70s now, as he did earlier? I mean, maybe he just doesn't want to, and he just leaves it to others.
I think the thing is, he should do that. He should leave it to others. He shouldn't, you know, hang on and try to be a part of it. If he doesn't have the drive, let someone else do the driving. You can be in the back seat and give a few comments. You can't be the driver if you don't have the drive yourself. So that's the problem. Leave it to the guys that wants to do something with the brand.
Yeah, they need someone that has a lot of drive, like you said. Plus, you have to have the knowledge. They have to understand KISS, what KISS is. They need to understand the KISS-tory, the whole, everything about KISS, their whole past from beginning to the middle and the end. They need to know all that. If they don't know it, they need to have people, their advisors, to, you know, talk to constantly to, if they're going to want to work on, look at a certain part of KISS or a certain project, like Alive or whatever. Understand everything and get the knowledge of what the fan knows.
But that's the council of the elders are, right?
Who knows? We have no idea what their role, is, we only know what was originally shared. You know, have they continued to be engaged? Again, you look at the people who are involved in that. There's a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of experience. I would hope, I really hope they've continued to be engaged and to be not necessarily involved, but at least consulted. When you don't know what you have and how to do anything with what you have, you go to consultants. That's a great team of consultants to have on speed dial. You need to know something, call Mark. Mark's very, very knowledgeable. You need to know something about emotions and what a KISS fan feels, call Joe or Matt. You know, I can just go through the list of each one of those KISS fans and say similar, because all of them have particular areas where they're just like us.
You know what I would do if I was in KISS? I would make the podcast official. I would throw every podcast a bone and, you know, put them out my page, you know, KISS Online. Imagine having KISS FAQ every other week, KISS Rock, what's the name of that, Rock City, making sure, you know, use the enthusiasm and the fans and making them a part of KISS. I don't have any will to do that, but if I was in charge of KISS, what a great opportunity. You know, you have loads of real KISS diehard fans producing material every week. Give them a platform and you can yourself earn money from it and, you know, have news, interesting stuff every week, new stuff on your page.
That seems like a very fitting way to end this episode. That's a whole bunch of topics from the board. Again, we're celebrating KISS with this podcast. We celebrated KISS this week. You know, you can only celebrate with what you have. You have a copy of KISS Alive. You can go play that anytime you wish. These guys are always in their youth. Go press play on whichever album takes your fancy. KISS is a legend. Nothing affects that legend now. They are secure. KISS is eternal. I'm going to go listen to some KISS after I get a burrito for lunch. So I want to take the opportunity to thank everyone who's joined us live or after the fact. We do appreciate your support. But for now, from, I was going to say Lonnie, from Daniel, from Mark, Ken, and myself, thanks for joining us. And see us next week when we celebrate KISS Asylum. Refocus.
Yeah!
Refocus. Yeah.
Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.